Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Covered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. To the friends His plans forsaking. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll wait and shield thee. Thou wilt find our sorrows there.
Let's do that. Let's pray now. Father God, we've just sung that we will find a solace in you, and we know that we will for everything that we're going through. So Lord, we do pray that you would be with us this morning. Lord, that as we think about thinking too much, and Lord, we don't want to be over prayers either. Father, we don't want to tell you what to do. You know us, you formed us, you made us, and Lord, you know the best for us. And we acknowledge that now as we come before you. And we want to worship you as you are, our Creator God, and to give you all of the glory. Amen. Amen. So the songs this morning are sort of focusing on God being in charge, and there's no need for us to be overthinkers. And the psalm that I found was quite a strange one, Psalm 34, just to read a few verses from that. And in the little snippety bit at the top, it says, when David's pretending to be insane, and he's gone through so much in his life that he's trying to escape by pretending to be insane. So if that's not overthinking, I don't know what it is. But still he says, verse 1, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. And then a wonderful verse. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Such promises, one in every single verse. And I'd just like to repeat that verse 3, which is what we're going to do now, is glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's what we're going to do. Please stand if you are able, and we will sing a few songs together. The words will be up on the screen. You won't need a book or anything. And we will join in praising the Lord. Let's start with Blessed Be Your Name. Father, you have done everything for us. And as we look towards communion, we can only ask one question and know that it was you. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? We are going to resume our seats and lead into communion.
Today's sermon, we are looking at the subject of overthinking and the dangers in overthinking, our problems, and the situations that we face in our lives, the dangers of doing that. But this is a meal that we're about to receive that we should always be very mindful of. We should always be thinking of. And down through the ages, throughout the Christian faith, throughout history, this meal has been experienced and enjoyed by Christians throughout the generations as a reminder, a healthy and a constant reminder to the faithfulness of God through Jesus Christ. And all that it took, all that it took for our sins to be forgiven through the beating and the whipping and the scorn and the shame and the blood that was shed on the cross. You and I should be always mindful of the great love of God for us, demonstrated through his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite our deacons to come now as we prepare to receive this meal of sacrifice. Graham, our administrator, is going to come and lead us in a prayer of thanks for the bread and for the wine.
Oh, Father God, we thank you for sending your Son to show us the way back to you. We thank you, Christ, for dying on the cross for us. And as we take these emblems, Lord, of your blood and your body, we thank you for that death on the cross.
Yes.
So that we can lead a good life without sin, though we break that sin. But we thank you for your forgiveness through your death on the cross. But hey, Lord, you rose again, and I thank you for that. So, Lord, we just take these emblems now of your death on the cross, your broken body, your blood poured out for us. That's all we can say is thank you. Amen.
Amen. It is so vitally important as Christians that we not only look back to the cross and respect the man on the cross, to respect him, but we're also called to honor him and to put our trust and confidence in him as the Son of the living God. And if you are not yet at that place where you have trusted in him wholeheartedly for yourself, then we would just encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come into that full knowledge of Jesus Christ for yourself. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he records these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you, that the same night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around the table with his friends, his disciples, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to his friends, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Well, friends, as you're now served with what represents the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. Amen. You sure that? Right. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ. In like manner, he then took the cup. He said these words, "This cup is the new covenant that will now be in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat of this bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Amen. As you are now served with what represents the blood shed on the cross at Calvary, please do retain your cup until we've all been served, and then we'll partake together as a sign of our Christian unity through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. blood shed for you. So we join in with the hymn writer who declared, "Lest we forget Gethsemane, lest we forget thine agony, and lest we forget his love for me, lead us to Calvary." Let us drink now the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you again for the greatest gift ever known to humanity. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we're grateful that we can celebrate together this sacred meal, recognizing and knowing all that it means, the cost of our salvation. And Lord, words would fail us to really describe all that the cross means to us. But simply we just say, thank you. Thank you for the cross, our friend. And may we continue to live our lives looking onto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. To him be the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen.
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 Well, thank you to Junior Church and to Ignite and the way for staying with us and sharing in communion. It's good to be a whole church as we partake of communion. It's part of our church life. But I need now to ask that familiar question. If anyone has had a birthday, I know Diane's had one yesterday, and it was a big one. Not saying how many, but has anyone had a birthday amongst the children? Yes. Yes, okay. The next song would be appropriate because it says running after, running after. If you could just... They usually do make it downstairs fairly quickly. Another one? Oh, Ava two. There's been a lot in August. Hello, do tell me your name. Luke. And how old were you? What are you going to be? 10. Were you? Has it been or last week? Okay, Luke. Well, you get to choose something from this vast selection in front of you. Whatever you would like from the birthday box. Red football. Good choice. Good choice for the women this morning. That is the football. And I know that you're all desperate to get away and watch the second half, but you stay there, Luke, and we will sing happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Okay, I've got a little quick question for you before the children actually leave us. What happens tomorrow?
Holiday club,
come on. What happens tomorrow?
Holiday club.
Brilliant. Okay, so tomorrow is the start of our holiday club, and the children come in 10 till 12, Monday to Friday, and the adults arrive a little bit earlier than that, about 9 o'clock, please, and we'll have a team chat and a pray together before the holiday club starts. There are still flyers over there. If you know of anyone from 0 to 11 who would like to come along and take them a flyer, then next to it there are some registration forms. Not because we want to keep tabs on people, but the most important thing on there is that you tell us if anyone has any allergies, whether it be to red paint or food of any kind or just anything, so that we don't cause anyone any problems over the week. But there's still lots there, so take them away with you, fill them in, and come back tomorrow with children at 10 o'clock. And if you're one of the leaders or helpers, at 9 o'clock, please. Okay, so Holiday Club starts tomorrow. Let's just pray for the children and bear everyone in prayer as they go through to their groups. Father, we do thank you for the abundance of children, and God, it is such a blessing. It is an amazing blessing. And looking after them all and finding leaders for the Ignite groups and everything like that is a wonderful problem to have. Father, we thank you so much. We know that without them, we would not be going anywhere. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you that you bless this church with families and children to those families. And, Lord, we praise you that they come along week after week and hear more about you. So, Lord, we would ask that you would be with them as they go through to their groups and as they learn more of you. Now, just before the children leave, it's like a Sunday school question time. I want to sing a song next that just really, really struck me a few weeks ago. And I think in one of the sort of secondary passages, I don't even know whether it was Nathan, but whoever was preaching said about the parable of the prodigal son. And so I ask a Sunday school type question. In the parable of the prodigal son, who does the father represent? Who does the father represent? God, okay. And who does the son represent? Us. And it struck me really afresh that he comes running after us. And it was such a wonderful thing that God comes running after us and he comes out with his arms wide open. So there's only one song that we could sing with that. So if the children would like to their group, go to their groups, and the young people, and if the adults would like to stand, and we'll sing I Love You, Lord. morning. Please do take your seats. Just before Nathan comes to speak to us, we are going to pray. Father God, we thank you that your goodness comes running after us, that you welcome us with open arms, and that we can run to you and, Lord, bring every problem and every fire that we're walking through. We can bring them and lay them before your feet. And Lord, you don't turn us away. And Father, we would pray now for those who really need that to be a reality in their lives. Lord, we think of the news and we see churches in Pakistan being attacked. And Lord, we do pray that you would restore that situation to balance, Father, that you would bring your peace there, that your people of Christian faith can worship you in safety and security. And Lord, we see areas where fire has just burnt away whole cities and towns. And Lord, we think of the places, the islands of Hawaii. And Lord, we ask that you would be there in that situation. It's not going to be an easy fix, Father. We know that. But Lord, we pray for local churches and local fellowships. And Lord, for those who can offer help, that they would offer most help to those who've just lost everything. And Lord, we pray that you would indeed bless all of the activities and the craft and the just the everything that take place here next week. Lord, we bring Holiday Club to you. Lord, we want to tell many people about you. And Lord, we pray for the adults who need to stay with the smaller children. Lord, we pray that your message would break through and they wouldn't just be here for the tea and coffee, but they would hear words of life and living water. And Father, we pray for all who come. Lord, we pray for those who've been invited from different community groups. And we ask that they would remember the times and that they would turn up and that their children would come under your word. And Father, we give everything to you. And Lord, we know that you are just waiting to answer our prayers and bless us in so many ways. And Father, we pray for Nathan now. Lord, infuse his preparation and everything that has been happening over this week, Lord, and make it your inspiration, reminding us that it's not all about us, it's all about you. Amen.
Amen. There's a little old chorus in my heart. We're going to sing a few times before we get into the word of God. It says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Anyone know that song? No? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts. Yes. Yes. I will say. Say this is the day that the Lord has. I will rejoice. Has made me glad. Say it one more time. I will enter. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say. Yes. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Now let's say he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Amen. We choose to rejoice. We choose to rejoice. Not because we have to, but we decide to rejoice because he has made us glad. Amen. I want to jump right into the message today, and as you can see, we're dealing with the question today, are you an overthinker? Are you an overthinker? And there are two short passages I want to lift for your attention this morning. The first one is in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 26, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 4. And then we're going to jump to the New Testament, to Philippians chapter 4. Isaiah, the 26th chapter, verse 1 to 4, it reads like this. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. In verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. I want to read verse 3 again. It says, you will keep in perfect peace. But the condition is those. Can we say those? Those whose minds are steadfast. Now, we have the promise of perfect peace, but we also have the condition. The condition is clear. He will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. We're going to unpack that in just a moment. Steadfast. Because they trust in you. Now, jumping over to the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, very familiar few verses. And it reads like this from verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace be with you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the truth and for the promises in your word. We thank you that the promises of the Lord, they are yea and amen. And we pray that we would trust and hold fast to your promises as we search into your holy word now. Would you bless us now? May we become not just hearers, but doers of your word. Would you hide me behind the cross now as your servant? And may you anoint me afresh as I deliver what you've put in my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Are you an overthinker? Church, there's a story of two men who ran into a young lady. And this young lady was evidently struggling to cross the river. And consequently, she was fearful. She was afraid of the current. So she asked the men who came across her way if they would lend her a hand and that they would carry her across the river. However, one of the men hesitated because of his personal religious beliefs. But the other man quickly responded to her cry for help. He picked her up, put her on his shoulders, and carried her across to the other side. And as he let her down, she thanked him. She was so grateful. And then they went their separate ways. But as the men continued on their journey, the man who declined the offer to assist the lady, he became restless. He was discontent. And eventually, he could no longer hold his thoughts to himself. So he shared a piece of his mind with his body. And he said, we are taught to avoid any contact with women, but you picked up the lady on your shoulders and you carried her. How could you do that? She's not your wife. That's inappropriate behavior. That's not right. So his friend replied simply by saying, my friend, I set her down on the other side hours ago, yet you are still carrying her in your mind. In other words, hours have lapsed since the event took place. The lady has now gone about her business, yet despite the transition of time, you are still vacillating back and forth in the corners of your mind, and you are worrying and stressing about an event that has come and gone. And friends, just like the man who was worried about how it would look to help this woman in need, so it is in all of our lives when we are still pushing around the luggage of yesterday and yesteryear, when the flight landed a long time ago. And friends, as important as it is to rest our bodies, we've been talking about that over the past 2 weeks, it's equally just as important to quiet our minds from the ongoing influx of information that our minds receive day after day. Because much like the social media feeds that we see each day, sometimes those feeds are plagued with negativity. And if we're not careful, if we consume those thoughts on a daily basis, then our own private thoughts can become contaminated with anxiety. Thoughts about the past, they can become tainted with regret in our lives. And even the thoughts about the present, they can become spoiled with discontentment. And Sandra Dalton Smith, in her book Sacred Rest, she quotes these words concerning the dangers of overthinking. She says, the cerebral background noise in our minds, she says, it's the ongoing chatter of the mind. It's the internal running commentary you have with yourself. She says, it's the white space of the brain where your ideas are born and your feelings have the capacity and the license to roam freely. And church, I believe there is great danger in allowing our thoughts to wander into a state of worry and stress. Because if we allow the thoughts in our minds to become a burden that we overthink and analyze every situation in our lives, then we can run the risk of going even into depression. It's just like whenever you watch or peruse live sport on television, whether it's snooker, horse racing, football or tennis, they will normally include the assistance of running commentary. It's an external group of people who are designated to provide commentary as we watch on and enjoy the sport. But it would be very difficult, friends, for those participating in the sport to not only focus their attention on playing the game, but also provide their own commentary as they are playing. That would be extremely burdensome. But the challenge in all of our lives is that sometimes we are providing a running commentary of our own lives, the challenges that we face, the bad news that comes our way, the problems at home, in our families, amongst our children and loved ones, and even the issues that we face at work. And if we don't deal with those thoughts, they can lead us to overthink, and overthinking things can lead to mental fatigue. And church, the thoughts that go round and round in our minds each day, they play from the moment that we wake up in the morning and even to the moment that we fall asleep at night. It can even prevent us from falling asleep because we're battling in our minds back and forth about the struggles that we face. But also, we may even be unaware of this mental noise going on in our minds, because it's now become just a natural part of our everyday lives. My mental noise may be different from yours, but both has the potential to be draining and exhausting. For example, Sandra Smith, she puts in her book some examples of mental noise going back and forth in our minds. And if you identify with some of these, just think about them and put a stick a point there on any of these points. The first one, she says, here are some examples of mental noise: self-critiquing and evaluating with inner monologue. Second one: thinking the same thoughts over and over again, as if it was stuck on an endless loop. Just repeat, going over and over, the same thing, over and over again. Here's the next one: reliving past events, just like the man in the story, and rewriting your own script with what you wish you would have said and what you wish would have done. Here's another one: dwelling on what ifs and fearing for the future. Thoughts about, oh, how are things going to be in the future? Am I going to be okay? Are we going to be able to see light at the end of the tunnel? Here's another one: judging and processing current situations against the measuring stick of past pain or regret. In other words, because of something that happened in our past that was traumatic, now we can't enjoy the present or have hope for the future because we're still stuck on something that happened yesterday that was painful. And now every situation, despite the fact that it might be positive, we only see it as a negative because of what happened before. Here's another one: constant escapism. Fantasizing about another place or time instead of being still in the present. Here's another one: continuously running the inner commentary that disturbs the peace of mind. Never being totally present, always thinking about something other than what's in front of you. However, church, what I love about these two passages that we read here this morning is that we see a wonderful example of how God is able to help us to navigate our thoughts, to alleviate the burden of carrying our thoughts each and every day. In other words, God is there to shoulder the burden, that we don't have to go around each day carrying all of those worries, all of those anxious thoughts by ourselves. Because God wants to help us, He wants to take those burdens away from us. So the first thing I want to leave of you today that you see in your notes, that if we're going to help to alleviate those painful thoughts, those traumatic thoughts, those anxious thoughts, the first thing we ought to do, number one, is we need to change the channel of your thoughts. Can you say that with me? Change the channel. Yes. Sandra Smith, she says, the mind is a magnificent, it's magnificent, but it has its own agenda. Rather than focusing on positive affirming thoughts, the mind prefers to settle on the negative ones. And that can intensify stress, worry, anger, and frustration. And right here in Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah, the Hebrew prophet, he opens chapter 26 with a reference, I love this, to an important day. He says, in that day, people of Judah, in that day. Now, the day that Isaiah is referencing here is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom. And not only should they look forward to that day, but despite their current circumstances, Isaiah lets them know that God will keep you in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast. I want you to look forward to the day, but as you look forward to that day, the one who will establish the day will preserve and keep your mind in perfect peace. In other words, that word steadfast, it literally means those who have a made-up mind. Their minds are convinced about the day. Ah, I love this. Because one of the things I'm grateful for, church, is despite the fact that not everything is perfect in my life, that all of us have struggles, all of us have worries, but I'm so grateful that all of us have the blessed assurance of that day. Ah, some of you are not excited about that day. But I'm grateful that we as Christians, we have some inside information about how the story ends. And really, it's not inside information because it's available for the whole world. Come and experience the joy and the peace of knowing the end of the story. And do you know why we don't have to fret? Do you know why we don't have to worry with anxious thoughts about the present or the past or the future? Is because we have the blessed assurance that we know how the story ends. And guess what? Christ wins. That means cancer may destroy the body, but we can still look forward to that day that if I live, it's Christ, but if I die, it's gain. So whatever comes my way, Miles, diabetes, high blood pressure, whatever sickness may defile the body, we have another building, Brian, a building of God that's not made by human hands, but it's eternal in the heavens. So it's not the will of God for the Christian, the child of God, to be burdened and just brought down low because of the pressures of life. Because Jesus says, I want you to give me your burdens. Look forward to that day. And those who have a made-up mind, God promises to keep those who have a steadfast mind in perfect peace. Now, I've got to deal with this perfect peace. Because perfect peace to the natural eye makes absolute no sense. You could have a man or a woman ridden with pain, anguish, stress. Don't know how they're going to make it. Don't know how they're going to pay their bills, but still be in perfect peace. Don't make sense. Now, to the unbeliever, they will mock such a person and say, that's nonsense. Because perfect peace to the world means absolute perfection, stillness. Some of those pictures that we put up on the screen last week of just exotic scenery. That's what perfect peace looks like to the human eye. But in the realms of the spirit, perfect peace is different. Perfect peace is like Job, who lost it all, who suffered immensely, but yet still he could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Church, whatever we are going through right now in our lives, we have the assurance of a perfect spiritual peace that surpasses all of the struggles and the problems that we face each day. It doesn't mean that God will take away all of the problems, but he gives us a steadfast mind that we can look forward to that day. Look forward beyond. That's why the psalmist says, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Does my help come from the hills? No. My help comes from the one who made the hills, the one who created the heavens and the earth. Now is the time, friends, to take our mind off the problems and put our minds on the one who is able to handle the problem. It's almost like a boxer going into the ring to fight. And as Christians, we go into the ring of life. And we're going up against our problems. And our situations and our problems in life, they're giving us a serious blow. Left hook, right hook, uppercut. And we're trying to dodge and get out the way. And we're trying to fight as best as we can. And we're trying to deal with the problem. We're trying to come up with our own solutions in the ring of life. But God is saying, will you just get out of the way? Stop trying to fight the battle for yourself, because the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to God. And if we would just get out of the way and allow God to fight our battles, then we can go to sleep at night. Even though there's problems in our life, we can go to sleep at night and say, Lord, fight on. Have your way. You are in charge. We give it to you. Fight our battles, and we will keep still. So it's important, church, that we don't just stay stuck on the same channel of worry and stress. But as Christians, God has given us another channel to change the channel. It's almost like when I was a kid and sometimes something obscene would come on the telly, and then mum or dad would say, oh, quick, get the channel, change the channel. And as a kid, you was curious, wouldn't mind watching that a little bit longer. What is that? But that was the parent saying, it's time to change your focus away from something negative, something that's not wholesome. Change the channel to something positive, wholesome thoughts. We've got to change the channel. That's why the hymn writer puts it this way, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he will lead the way. Don't be like doubting Thomas. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Why worry when you can pray. Hallelujah. But secondly and finally this morning, not only are we ought to change the channel on our thoughts, to focus on God, look forward to that day. But finally, I want to leave with you today, we ought to focus our thoughts on God's character. Can we say that together? Focus your thoughts on God's character. So now that we've changed the channel from worry and anxiety to God's channel of peace, now it's time to focus on the channel. Paul says in Philippians, it's time to fix your thoughts on God's divine attributes. It's almost like going to the cinema. You pay the ticket, you buy the popcorn, the hot dogs or what have you, then you sit in front of the cinema and then you fall asleep. I've been guilty of doing that before. What's the point? You were present to watch it, but you were not focused on it. And so it is in all of our lives. It's one thing being present in the room. But you can be present in the room, but your mind is absolutely elsewhere. You ever been talking to someone and you're talking to them and you can tell that their mind is elsewhere? And if you say, did you get what I said? You sure? And then, yeah. It's one thing to change the channel over to God's channel, but now Paul says, I want you to fix your thoughts. Don't just change over the channel. Don't just skip the channel. But now, once you're there, I want you to be fixated on the channel. Dwell on the channel. Live on God's channel. Make your abode on God's channel. Don't just flick to the next one. A little 5 minutes of this, 5 minutes of that. No, God says, I want you to be completely fixated on my channel. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, can we say true? Whatever is noble, can we say noble? Whatever is right, can we say right? Whatever is pure, let's say pure. Whatever is lovely, let's say lovely. Whatever is admirable, let's say admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Hallelujah. And in a world that we're living in today, where there's so much negativity, so much bad news, when you turn on the news this week, my heart was just saddened with this young lady who was charged with the responsibility to look after the little children, to look after the little babies. But yet still, she was doing something untoward to helpless babies. Many babies died as a result of her wrongdoing. And I said to myself, who would want to do such a thing? Who would want to do such a thing? And these thoughts, they can just go round and round in our minds when we watch the news, when we look at all of the evil around us. But Paul says, as Christians, we ought to not only change the channel, but we need to focus. Despite what's going on around us, we ought to be completely fixated on things which are true. Things which are noble. Whatever is right, despite what is wrong around us, we have to focus on God's truth, on God's character, on God's attributes. Because all of the attributes of God, they propel us into a realm of praise and worship and thanksgiving. And although there may still be problems in our lives, just one glimpse of glory, just one glimpse of his face, just one glimpse of the weight and the realm of his glory, it allows us to view our problems in a different light. Hallelujah. Not only does Paul say that we are to fix our thoughts on his character, but in verse 7, and I'll close with this, in verse 7, he mentions something that is so important for us to grasp. In verse 7, he says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding," here it is, "it will guard." It will guard our hearts. Now, in the Old Testament, the Bible lets us know, Solomon says, as a man or a woman thinks in their heart, so he or she becomes. So is he or she. In other words, what we think, evidently we become. What we feed on, we become. That's what he means. But what I love about this New Testament passage, Paul says that the peace of God, it transcends all understanding, but now it will guard the heart. Oh, I love this. In the Greek, it's analogous to a military guard. In other words, whatever we're going through in life, God gives us such a peace. See, sometimes when we think of peace, we think of just docile, you know, tranquil. That's one side. But also, the peace of God, it's a peace that is very, it's a military guard. It's action. It fights our battles for us. It puts a seal of protection, a hedge of protection around us. That although we are going through challenges in our lives, the hedge of protection around us, it keeps us concentrated on God's character. That's why when sometimes we go around and people say, "How are you?" And we say, "Well, I'm all right. I'm okay." But deep down, you know you're not okay. But what we should be saying is, "How are you?" "Not too good, but I'm protected." I don't feel too good, but I have the God of peace protecting my heart. Although I don't feel good right now, I still have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So although I don't feel good, I am protected. The peace of God, it will guard our hearts and our minds, all those who are fixated, focused on Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I don't know who this is for today, but I sense very strongly that there's someone here today who this message is just so relevant, is so apropos, is so right on the button this morning, because we have been struggling with overthinking, struggling with playing out the episodes of life in our minds, struggling with thoughts of yesteryear and the trauma of what happened before. But I believe today with all of my heart that through your word, you are calling us to let go of those thoughts, to change the channel, and to focus our attention on that great day to come where Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom. Help us, Lord, today to change the channel from worry to peace, from anxiety to joy, from stress to triumph. Help us, Lord, this morning to not only change the channel, but when we leave this place today, to fix our thoughts with a steadfast mind, firmly rooted on Christ Jesus. And we thank you for the promise that you will guard our hearts, you will guard our minds for all those who trust in you. So help us now, Lord, not to be burdened by our worries, but to give them to you, because you are the great burden carrier. So we submit to you now. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 The worship team are coming back as we prepare to leave. We thank God that he wants to give us perfect peace. And to know that peace, we must know the one who came to give us that peace. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you have not yet come to faith in Jesus Christ, you've not yet repented of your sins and come to know the promise of eternal life for you, then today's a great day to get to know him. He wants to give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. So if you're here today and you want to know Jesus, then after the service in the prayer corner, to my right, to your left, right in the back corner there, meet us there. There'll be prayer partners who will pray for you and share with you the plan of salvation. And also if you have some challenges in your life, some worries, and you're stressed about something, then why don't you meet us also in the prayer corner? We'd love to pray for you and to let you know that God has come to give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen.
As we focus on God's character, our final song says just that. I see your face in every sunrise. The colours of the morning are inside your eyes. So we look up and we say, you're beautiful. Let's stand and sing this song together.
See your face in every sunrise, the colors of the moon.
His face. He's beautiful. Please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees or a cool drink and a time to fellowship. And our evening service, our worship evening service, you are more than welcome to join us this evening at 6:30. We certainly look forward to seeing you then. And also, please remember the wedding blessing for yours truly and Anna will be on Saturday coming at 2 o'clock. So we certainly look forward to seeing you there. If you can be there, that will be great. 2 o'clock. And then, of course, the wedding ceremony on Tuesday the 29th at 12 noon. Anna let me know yesterday that it's scheduled to rain on the 29th. And I said, don't worry about that. She said, oh, okay. I'm going to take pictures. I said, no, don't worry about the rain. No, that's a blessing. Yeah. And, you know, I just thought of Anna. Our first dance, the song is Can You Stand the Rain? So that's our first dance song. So anyway, so I don't care if it's rain, snow, I'll still marry you. Don't worry about it. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your constant presence that continues to keep us day by day. Lord, we know life is not perfect. We know there are so many challenges that we face each day. But we thank you that we don't have to sorrow as those without no hope. We thank you that we have a great hope in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have come to carry those loads, those burdens, Lord, that we face each day. We don't have to carry them around each day in our backpacks, but we can give them to you. So I pray for each and every one of us now as we leave this place that we won't take our problems with us, but Lord, that we would leave them at your feet. So until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now, evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Love you all. Bless you.